1 Samuel chapter 17, let's begin reading in verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, a bear, and a lamb out of the flock, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Go down to verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let's stop right there, and then we'll continue here in just a little while with this scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for each one that has come out tonight to be with us. We know there are some that are out of town, some that are not here. I pray that you'll bless them and help them. And Lord, just be with us tonight for just a little while as we look at David, summer with a shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. When I was a young preacher, I wore David and Goliath out. I mean, every church I went to, I preached on David and Goliath. You've heard it since you were a child. You've heard it all the way through, but it's still one of the best stories in the entire Bible. You see, part of God's training plan for David was placing him in some difficult situations. These difficult times, David learned to trust the Lord. He learned to not walk in the power of his own flesh, but in the power of God. David learned the lessons necessary to survive life. We're looking tonight at surviving giant country. I've looked at these, you've looked at these, we've preached them, re-preached them over and over and over and over again, but everybody in this room or watching on Facebook has a giant in their life. There's something you're facing. There's something that is there in front of you, just as we'll see here. As we watch David walk into this valley to face this 9-foot, 9-inch giant, we can have some needed instructions that'll help us tonight. Y'all with me? All right, if y'all will listen fast, I'll preach slow. Number one, survival is a matter of timing. Now, I want you to picture the day. This day began just like any other day for David. What was he doing? He was out tending his sheep. He was out doing the things that he was supposed to do. He was out tending his sheep. David goes to his brothers because they were in a war. There was things going on, and David's dad sent him with a tray full of sandwiches. I don't know what kind of sandwiches. Ham and roast beef, maybe. I don't know. But he sent him with some food because it had been a while. It had been a long while. So they didn't have armies then. Ordinary citizens would rally around the king. He'd call for volunteers to fight. But while the army of Saul, they were hiding in their tents, this giant standing in this valley, and his voice just echoed, and he was blaspheming the name of God. He was blaspheming, and David's day had started just like any other day, but now he's finding himself face to face with a giant. You know what happens in our lives? Giants rarely give us notice. Rarely do we get noticed. Rarely do we really understand. You get up one morning expecting everything to be okay. You get up one morning and everything's okay. Not long, here in just a couple weeks, it would be 8 years since my father passed away. I got up like any other day. I went to work like any other day. I limped like any other day. It was hot like any other day. I didn't think anything was going on. I didn't think anything was happening. That's the way life is. You get up and everything's normal, but then something catches us off guard, and that's where we are. If we're going to survive the giants in our life, we need to understand that the giants just don't show up. Their appearances are well-timed. If we could ever grasp the truth that nothing comes our way apart from the will of God. Nothing. There's not one thing that comes our way that God doesn't know about. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. Most time we're like Israel. They'd wandered through the wilderness for 2 years after they left Egypt. They arrived to the banks of the Jordan River, and all they had to do was cross over into that land that God had promised them, that land that flowed with milk and honey. That wasn't enough. They said, we need to send some people in there. You see this in Numbers 20. So they sent 12 spies, you know the story, 12 spies that went in. They went in and 12 of them saw the same thing. In fact, when they came out, they were carrying a grape, the Bible says, was the size of a man's head. Carrying it. That's a big old grape. They had it in their hand. And as the 12 walked out, Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12. And the chairman of this committee, we'll just call him Brother Doubter, because he said, surely the land flows with milk and honey, but there are giants there. We can't do it. Now I'm seeing Caleb and Joshua over here to the side, jumping just clear out of their sandals. And Caleb said, and Joshua said, wait a minute. Now I'm paraphrasing this. Please don't go read this and call me after a while. Say I'm misquoting the scripture, because I am. I'm weaver-phrasing this. Weaver-phrasing. They jumped up and they said, wait a minute, we are more than able. We can do this. Look, we have this grape. You see this? You see? But no, that's not what they did. What happened? They let the giants decide what they were going to do. As we go through life, there's going to be giants that appear in your life, in my life. In the life of our church, there's going to be giants, but we have to trust God. Are y'all with me tonight? The same principle we find in the book of Daniel. Those three boys said, I'll not bow, I'll not bend, and I'm not going to burn. One thing I will never do is bow to anybody except God. You hearing this? I'm not going to do it. I'll never do it. They said, we're not going to do it. So they cranked up the furnace. 7 times it was so hot. You know the story. I'm not telling you anything you hadn't heard. They cranked it up so hot that the guard that was there, gone. Dead. Because it was so hot. They went inside that furnace. No king walked by and looked through the window and saw 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, wait a minute. Hi, Dorothy. Good to see you. Missed you. He looked at me. He saw 4, Dorothy. He said, didn't we send 3? Yeah, he sent 4. You see, the Lord went in there with them. Listen, those giants, they're going to come up. Those furnaces, they're going to come up. God didn't take them over the furnace. He didn't take them under it. He didn't take them around it. He took them through it. David was right in the middle of giant country. This great, big, massive man is calling out, and all of the army is cowered down. I wonder, I often think this, if it comes to the point in our country where we have a choice to make, serve God or die. You keep serving God, you're going to get killed. It could happen, I don't know. I'm not a pessimist, I'm not a news watcher, but it could happen. My question is, if it does, what will we do? We say, I want to live. No, I'd just soon die because I'm not going to defy my God. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. Survival is also a matter of trusting. When David hears all the threats and the defiance, he determines that something's got to be done. Something has got to be done. But as soon as David expresses his desire, he was met with criticism. He was met with doubt. All these things happened. You see, David had learned about God's purposes. In 1 Samuel 16:13, David had been anointed king. We saw that 2 weeks ago. We see David had learned about God's protection. David knew as he was out there tending his sheep, he said, I fought a bear. He didn't carry around a shotgun. He didn't have any of that stuff. It was a bear, it was a lion, and he defeated them because the Lord took care of him. He'd learned about God's protection. He'd learned about God's power. David knew that the victory didn't reside in swords, shields, spears, armors, or bows, but in the mighty power of God. You know what's going to defeat the giants in your life? God. If you try to do it by yourself, it ain't going to happen. If you try to do it by yourself, we're going to make it worse. What's going to defeat the giants in our life is God. That same God who protected him, that same God that provided victory for him, is the very same God we serve on whatever today's date is, 2025. The very same God. What a lesson. You see, God did not save you. Listen to this. God did not save you to be destroyed by a giant. No, he didn't. God saved you to take you home to glory one day. The giant cannot undo the internal work God has already done. The giant's there. It's going to be there. The giant's going to be in your life. The giant's going to be in my life. God will not change courses in the middle of the stream. He will always be that which he's always been. We serve a God who's always there, no matter what we face. Always there. God will not change courses in the middle of the stream. That simply means he is unchangeable. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. Y'all hearing me tonight? The same God who did all of these things, same God was at the Red Sea, the same God that provided manna from heaven, the same God that rose Lazarus from the dead. All of these things happened, these giants. But what happened was God took care of them. God will never fail those who place their trust in him. He will not fail you. There's times in our life when we question, and that's just the human nature. We're going to question things. Why are you doing this, God? Why are you doing this, God? But God will never fail those who trust in him. He's a God of power. He's a God of glory. He's a God that's ever moving in our lives. Where's your trust as you face the giant? David, he wasn't scared a bit. Little old David, 15, 16 years old. All he had was 5 stones and a slingshot. Goliath was 9 foot 9 inches with all the armor. We see number 3, survival is a matter of taking. Look down in verse 41. Verse 41, the Bible says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He laughed. He mocked him, basically is what that's saying. For he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came and drew nigh to meet David. David hasted and ran toward him, toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling of the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, for there was no sword in his hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Survival is a matter of taking. What did David do? David was a brave fella. Y'all with me? David was a brave guy. I mean, he just walked right up there and he said, Look, you come to me with all this stuff? I just come to you in the name of the Lord. You know what we need to tell the devil? Devil, you ain't got a shot. You ain't got a shot. You can come at me from all sides, backwards, front, up and down. You can do what you want to, but I have something you don't have. I'm on God's side. Remember, we don't necessarily want them on our side because our side's a mess. I want to be on his side. I want to be on his side because his side is just exactly like it's supposed to be. There's a time when we have to take it. There's a time when talk is talk. We have to place our trust in the Lord. We have to believe that he can do everything that he's ever done. I want you to picture this. I looked at this several times. On the armor that Goliath had on his head, there's a little place. You may have heard this. There's a little place that's open. Guess where that stone hit? The place that was open. I wonder, as David slung that stone, it wasn't a slingshot with rubber. They didn't have rubber back then. He just slung it. And I wonder, as that stone was picturing it in slow motion, I think the whole time God had his hand on it. Y'all hearing me? And bam! Killed him deader than 4 o'clock. And then he told him, he said, I'm going to cut your head off. He took Goliath's sword, Richard, and cut his head off. He said, I told you what I was going to do. I told you what I was going to do. We need to, when we hit these giants, place our trust in the Lord. Believe that he can do everything that he's ever done. Walk into that valley. Square up with your giant. And keep singing till he falls. Keep singing till he falls. I'm convinced that the reason David took 5 stones to kill one giant, he knew he might miss on the first shot, and he aimed to keep slinging stones until he had the victory. Now, there's other schools of thought on that, but you know what matters is? One shot took him out. When you believe the Bible, when you really think of what the Bible says to us, we're giant killers. We've got some giants in our life. We've got some giants in our life. We've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. Kathy's mom's back in the hospital. We've been up since 3 o'clock dealing with that. We've got some huge giants, some huge decisions that we're going to have to make as a family. It's tough. But you know what? We're giant killers. I'm not coming at Dave or Goliath with just my thoughts. I'm coming at Goliath in the name of the Lord. Tom, I'm coming at him dead on him in the name of the Lord. This morning at 3:30, I'm praying, God, help us. God, help us. And cut that stupid car alarm off. It started again, Brianna. Ball bat's coming real soon. You're going to see your preacher on the news. Crazed preacher. Bust windshields out. That's right. Whatever it takes. Y'all hearing me tonight? Yeah, I'm crazy. I can't help it. But I want you to understand something. There is not one thing in your life that you cannot accomplish through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's interesting when you watch all of the characters, and you read that after a while, read the whole account of all of the cowards. All of those brothers of David, remember a couple weeks ago, they paraded out in front of Samuel to be the next king. They're all cowards. Who was it that stood up to Goliath? That little old, oh yeah, I got a, he didn't call him his son. I got the other one out there in the field tending the sheep. We'll get him. And when he walked through the screen door of that house, Bible says he had a beautiful countenance. This is the one that just killed Goliath while his brothers, his big, big brothers, are cowards somewhere hiding. Listen to me. We can hide. We can run. We can run to alcohol. We can run to this. We can run to that. But the problems are still going to be there. We need to run to God. We need to run to God. Preacher, I have run to God and run to God. Keep running. Just keep running. Don't ever give up running. Remember, a 16-year-old boy killed a 9-foot-9 giant. That was a giant in his life. Whatever giant you're facing in your life, whatever giant I'm facing in my life, we have the power of God upon us. Y'all hearing me tonight? Take it. So, Lord, I need your power upon my life. I need your power. There's giants that we need to take down. Whatever that is tonight, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please, for just a moment. Then we'll go into our time of prayer, a prayer request. Maybe there's a huge giant in your life, a huge financial giant, a huge health giant, a huge family giant. I don't know. Giants vary. But remember, God doesn't change. God will be right there. I may or may not be preaching on the prodigal's father Sunday. We'll see. Whatever the Lord wants. But one thing the prodigal's father did, he always looked for his son. That tells me that no matter what you're facing in your life, God is right there. He's right there. Not only is he there, but he cares for what you are facing. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And we're so thankful for these places in the Word of God that give us so much hope. We're thankful for these places in the Word of God that give us so much faith that we can believe. And we just skim the surface. We all know this story. We all know the details. But we know that you took that stone and guided that stone just in the right spot. It didn't hit his shield. It hit his head, the forehead, and it sunk into his forehead. I pray that you help us, all of us in here tonight, as we face those giants. Those giants that come upon us day after day after day after day. Lord, help our folks. There's a lot of folks in here facing some issues. And I pray that we all trust in you as a church, that we trust in you as a family, that we trust in you as a people, and you guide those stones in our life. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.